Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Quality. It's episode 109, and thanks to everyone joining us live today on Friday, the 24th of October, 2025. And also welcome to people who are listening to this via the podcast. Welcome, dear listeners. We are very grateful for you joining us today. My name is Simon Tomes. I'm a community lead at Ministry of Testing. And today I'm co-hosting with Natalia Burmey. Natalia, how are you doing?
Hi, Simon. Thank you for the introduction. I'm really well today. Yeah, all good. Very happy to be co-hosting another brilliant session with you. And thank you everyone who joined us today and have chosen to spend this hour with us.
Yeah, it's cool. And for those who aren't familiar with This Week in Quality, I guess I would describe it as just a way to gather at the end of a week and just share what you've been up to. There's an opportunity soon to come up on stage and just talk about your week. Tell us what you've been up to, some of the things you've been doing perhaps at your workplace, some things you've been trying out or some things you've been testing or exploring, maybe some challenges that you're facing that you'd like a bit of help with, or maybe you're new to the community and you just want to introduce yourself and say hi. We love it when folks do that, that they are up for putting themselves out there and introducing themselves. That's very cool indeed. So just a couple of reminders, as this is an official Ministry of Testing event for those listening live, there is a code of conduct in place, so please be mindful of that. You can find that on ministryoftesting.com in the footer. And also that with the tool that we currently use to host this event, it's not possible yet to share links. So we have put in a feature request, and we've been chatting with Wistia, who provide the service, to recommend that they enable link sharing because it's handy. But if you do want to share links, please do on the Motiverse Slack. We have a dedicated channel called 06 underscore Twick, or Twix, as some people like to call it. And we also have the club. So the club is our online forum that's open to everyone with a Motiverse account. So you go to club.ministryoftesting.com. So yeah, so add your links there. You could also post memories. Memories is a way of microblogging on ministryoftesting.com. So you can share your thoughts and ideas. So if stuff comes to you during This Week in Quality and you want to share your thoughts on it, then you can post as a memory. So that's very cool as well. And it's nice to see lots of chat happening live here. Hello there, Adam. Hello, Gary, Nadia, Richard, Michael, Elise. Great to have you here and part of the This Week in Quality crew. We are all sharing this experience together today. Natalia, is there anything in particular that's been happening this week that you'd like to share? So maybe something you've been up to, or some things that you've been observing, some conversations you've been having. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Every week is an interesting week, right? In different shape. And this week, I had a couple of things I decided to explore on my own. I don't know, I was sitting one evening on the sofa and I had this sofa thought about my Astro tool for mobile testing. I remember I met them in person on Lotacon. I had a really good chat with co-founders, and because I don't work with mobiles at the minute, but I had quite a lot of experience previously, I was thinking, okay, let me try. Yeah, spoiler alert, I did not fully succeed yet, because I think some kind of documentation of samples is not up to date on their side, but that might be just my assumption. I have to test it out. But yeah, it was cool to see a different tool where they say, I'm very curious to explore their style of writing YAML and how things work. I needed to have as well, like Android Studio and Xcode, which I thought I wouldn't. I had this idea that eventually we will have some frameworks that would be independent from Android Studio and Xcode. But yeah, on the way there, if anyone has some experience or would like to share, would love to hear your thoughts or tips. I also explore a little bit of my MCP servers. One thing that I did, we use Storna Cube tool for static code analysis and coverage just to have understanding, see the trending, where is it going? And we use agentic IDEs. So I connected Sonacube MCP through Docker desktop app. I was following the YouTube video that Christine Pinto has shared on Slack. I can find it later. It's really cool to understand, you can do this all in one app, which is Docker application for desktop. And I connected to Cursor and I was able to get insight on the change of what I was having, testing, understanding what it is. It was cool. So it's a lot of information those servers can and AI agentic can give you to understand where your complexity of the code is, where your gaps, and try to navigate you in a little bit more data-driven or more informed way, right? So I find it useful. Now my challenge is, what do I do with all this information, right? It's so much. But it was cool. I still have to finish the video. And a third thing that I had a really interesting command on a stand-up today, that's not about AI or tools. It's about when your team members think that, so the command was from product manager saying, I don't think developers should spend their time on testing. I will do myself and that will do. I was caught up a little bit in kind of surprise and I didn't really know how to respond at that moment. And that the kind of environment I'm trying to change, but why would we limit diversity of testing, right? Why would we just have one person who tests? Why wouldn't have the whole team who is testing it, right? That's my whole idea. But I did not anticipate the answer at that moment, right? Because I have a little bit of that delivery timelines. And so audience can help me and can maybe share how those situations can be discussed or how to bring people on their journey. I would greatly appreciate, right? So those things I had this week. They're quite different. Would love to hear any thoughts on any or similar situations or discussions. So yeah, that's been happening this week.
A busy one, Natalia. I like it. And really, yeah, thank you for sharing all that. And again, yeah, as you've mentioned, folks can follow up on some of the things you shared via the Motiverse Slack. Yes, very good indeed. Yeah, a few things to note that have changed this week on the Motiverse itself. So the ministryoftesting.com website that might be of interest to folks. So I shared for those listening along live, Talia's profile in the chat. And the cool thing is with a recent update to profiles is you can now filter a person's contributions. So you can see the different types of contributions they're making to the community, which is really cool. So I can see, if I look at your profile now, Natalia, you've written one article, you've contributed to one course, which is mega. You've added a term on the glossary. You've participated in the certification. So MOT Software Testing Essentials Certificate, or STEC, as some people call it. You've shared 19 or been part of 19 memories, 2 external links, we call them satellites, a contributor, 1 talk, been on 4 Testing Planet sessions, and according to our podcasting, you've been on 9 episodes of TWIC, which is amazing, right? We can see your kind of contributions are an inspiration because you've just gone for it, right? And I think when people jump on a profile and have a look at a profile like yours, they can see the many things you've been up to and can go, maybe I could do that, or maybe I could find a way to contribute. So I think there's something cool in being able to get a bit of granularity when you have a look at someone's profile page. You can see what folks have been up to. So yeah, I don't know if you spotted that one, Natalia, if you had a look and were able to filter some of the things that you've achieved over the course of the years.
No, yeah, but thank you for sharing that. That's a nice kind of insight when you see or anyone sees their contributions throughout the year. It's really nice kind of idea. Oh, yeah, I achieved a lot, right? Sometimes we don't see if you don't look at a kind of like a large scale. But thanks for doing it. I used a new feature. I updated my calendar like for any kind of chats. And I also noticed a while ago you have put as well, you can put your GitHub link also, which I'm not sure it's used very much, because I went through a couple of profiles that I was given a star award this week for helping me out on WaterCon. I had an amazing team and Core Exchange and as well beyond. So yeah, I'll encourage everyone to share their GitHubs, anything that you'd like people to know or learn from you. Yeah. And the more the merrier. So you see the effect, right, of positive contributions. So just use it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And thanks for the reminder about calendar link and GitHub link. Yeah, definitely encourage folks to add those. The other part, it all adds up to community stars. So for those unfamiliar, we have the star system, a kind of community algorithm where people can receive stars for doing all sorts of different things. And people can also award stars as well. And that all ties in with badges as well. So these are multiple ways that people can demonstrate to others in the community or in their workplace the good things that they're up to. And we've had some good chats this week internally, myself and Rosie and myself and Andrew, about how we can make stars more accessible, so easier to award to people. We feel people should dish out the stars more often and celebrate that. And also people who, let's say, are writing or they have talks published on the site, whenever people kind of comment and share their thoughts about something, that person should also get a reward and get some kudos in the form of stars as well. Yeah, expect over the coming weeks or months that we're really going for it with stars. We feel that's a way to celebrate each other in a much more meaningful way, because you can add comments as well to your star message. And it's lovely when you receive it, like it's quite unexpected. And you get a little message from someone saying, oh, thanks for your help with that thing. It's really nice. It's really cool to see. And actually from the side of someone who awards lots of stars, it's a lovely feeling to just be kind and share appreciation for what people are up to.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned one thing from this community, that there's nothing too little or too small not to be recognized for, right? So a simple thing, even joining the session today, it is very much appreciated that you spent time, you showed up, you participated, right? That's how it makes a huge difference. And this is how I think people understand every little matters. It doesn't need to be big or glorious, just need to be as little as you can, anytime you can, and just show up and say thank you. So that's a huge difference I learned from this community.
100% show up. And talking of which, we're eventually building or enhancing our events system. So eventually folks would receive a star for turning up to an event, whether it's in person or online. So for anyone who's joined This Week in Quality, they would be able to mark that they attended and they get a star for that, because that's participation, as you say, Natalia. And it may be, even if someone is just sat here right now listening away, they're not even in the chat, they're not getting involved, they are still participating, because they may spark an idea which might lead them to do something else, or they may share something helpful with their team. So they're showing up, right? People should be rewarded for that. Even the act of registering for an event is powerful as well. So there's, yeah, all that stuff we are hoping to build into our system over the coming months. So yeah, watch this space. Talking of contributions, the MotorCon 2025 talks are now live on the site. Very excited for that. So for folks who attended and they want to revisit some of the talks that they watched live and for real, you can now do so. There is a collection called MotorCon 25 talks. And I'm going to, for those listening along live, I'm going to post a link in the chat. And also for anyone who wasn't able to attend MotorCon, I know sometimes it can be hard to get to Brighton in the UK if you are living in on another part of the planet. So please do go check out the talks. They are available to everyone with a professional membership, whether that's standard or unlimited. You get access to the whole lot. And boy, oh boy, are they good. I was very fortunate to catch some of them in person. And yeah, just really good stuff. And what I would say is, and I've seen Rosie Sherry, CEO and founder of Ministry of Testing, She's watching them back, and when she does, she'll take notes and then she'll post a memory. So she's sharing her reflections in real time. So I'd encourage people to do that, where you watch back a talk, write down your thoughts and ideas, and then just post it back onto the Motiverse. It's a way of sharing your learning, cementing your own learning, and then giving other people another angle at a particular talk. And I think it's a wonderful way of sharing what it is, your key takeaways. It also gives feedback to the speaker as well, what people found interesting. So let's take Scott Kenyon and A.D. Stokes talk. If someone watched that back, they posted a memory sharing sort of some things that stood out, that would be wonderful for both Scott and A.D. to go, that's what they found interesting. That's brilliant. That's what resonated. Or they understood it like this, which we hadn't considered, or many other things. That would be very cool indeed. Right. So, Natalia, it looks like we've got a few folks who have put themselves forward to join us on stage. So there is a button on your screen for those following along live called Join the Stage Queue. What happens when you press that is it will open up a new tab. So close down the original tab it came from. So you'll lose a brief connection to the event. Stay on the new tab and then join off stage, but don't have both tabs open because you will get some weird audio issues. We have raised this with Bustia and they will look into that. But I would recommend you click that button. If you do want to join the stage, close down the tab that you came from and stay on that new tab. Yeah, so I can see Adrian has joined. I wonder if Adrian would like to join us. But I know Adrian joined just before we went live, actually. So super keen to join us. I will bring Adrian onto stage. And Adrian, if you want to unmute yourself, you're more than welcome to jump on in and we can find out about your week in quality. But if not, we can bring up the next person who jumped off stage. So I'll give it a few more seconds to see if Adrian wants to join us whilst I quickly grab a sip of my tea.
Yeah, I'm buzzing seeing so many people on stage. Love it. If that's what is happening that I see on my end, I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, well, I'd mentioned Scott Kenyon and Scott's talk at Moticon. I'd love to hear from Scott. So Scott, we're going to bring you up on stage and we're going to find out about your week in quality.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. How's your week in quality been?
It's been really good. I was part of a panel this week about AI and testing, and it seems to be there all the panels I'm in at the moment. But we had a big spark of a debate, and the debate, and I'd like to know your feelings on it, was, is AI removing curiosity and creativity from testers? And I was quite adamant on this question, on my reply, and it caused a bit of a stir in the room. I put it as a poll, but I don't know who the overlords are who approves them. But I don't want to know what your thoughts are, really, personally.
Great question. Natalia, you want to jump in on that? I do have some thoughts, but Nat,
I'm curious about yours, but let me go and explore this one. So, personally, I'm too curious person, so I'm not entirely sure it would apply to me that way, but I might be biased. I think it gave us, I feel at the moment, it gave me a lot of things which I would possibly go and explore on my own, but it gives me a lot of kind of material and foundations to dig deeper. I think it's what I'm experiencing is slightly a little bit different curiosity might be, if I'm going that direction, and more like understanding why is it happening or what I can do with that or how I can make it useful. That's actually never thought about this. So I might be just waffling a little bit, but I suspect it might be different curiosity and the shift in mindset to that curiosity, which is maybe AI or where we are in a new kind of technology ecosystem rather than in the previous one. But let me know what's the debate sparked, or Simon maybe have some ideas. I'll keep thinking about that.
It's a great question. Great question, Scott.
Sorry.
No, please don't apologize. These questions are great. And again, this is something I think we could follow up on the Motiverse Slack and also on the club, perhaps Also, Scott, you could post a memory with your hot take on it. Yeah. I can certainly share my thoughts if that's helpful.
Yeah, please. That's it. I'm currently in the process of trying to write a bit of an article on it.
Nice.
And I'm using Aidy. I think Aidy's in the chat.
Yeah.
It's my sort of sounding board. But yeah, please, I want to know your thoughts.
Is Aidy your chat? He's like your GPT tooling. So you're I love it. I love that. There's an irony in that, but yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, well, what Natalia has shared has sparked something where I wonder if there is a model around curiosity, like levels of curiosity. And maybe I posted it on the Observatory earlier on. There was a post by Smart Bear about autonomy, and they had a model around the levels of autonomy from 1 to 5, where 5 is you give everything over to the AI overlords and then you trust. Scary saying that out loud. Whereas 1 was like, you might use some form of AI just to spark an idea or cross-check something. Maybe there's another framing around curiosity, like what levels of curiosity are there? And then I would, to Nat's point, what risks would I put on top of that? So maybe there's like, it's forming in my head, but it's not quite there yet, like a risk curiosity model. And then you could apply that to all sorts, not just AI. So maybe there's something in that. I think fundamentally, I think beyond the world of quality that, yes, it seems like societies appear to be trusting of some of the outputs they get from, say, interacting with tools like ChatGPT or Gemini, and they're not questioning stuff. So is that curiosity? I guess it is. So I am concerned about that. I think it can have far-reaching impact if we're just trusting things that we see and believing things to be true without questioning them. But I think that comes with our territory as quality professionals, that we will ask questions, we will be curious, we will be skeptical, we will apply critical thinking, we will apply systems thinking. And that's a good thing. And I think those are the skills that really matter moving ahead with our industry. So I'm excited that actually as a community that we can support each other and hone those skills and teach each other those sorts of skills that are all connected with curiosity. So we have the toolkits to deal with whatever AI is being thrown our way. That's my take.
Because I'm in the teaching and learning space now, as I've moved from those who can do, those who can't teach sort of world. And I say that before everyone else does. And one of the things I find that trying to teach testing and teaching curiosity and how to be clumsy as well, AI kind of removes a bit of that. And it's really hard to teach people basic testing skills where AI takes all the heavy lifting from you. And when I was on the panel, there was developers, data scientists, product teams, and it got to a point where it's the same sort of argument we had 10 years ago about automation. It will replace us. It never will. So I, to fix this, in a long story, is actually now teaching students and learners prompt engineering. I went to the workshop at Motocon, I'll call it what it is, Motocon Brighton, about prompt engineering and using AI. It was really good. And I've watched the video back. So it helps. But yeah, it's a horrible thing about curiosity and creativeness and AI and about how it's a helping hand and not a hindrance. But yeah, thank you for my time.
I appreciate it, Scott. And I'm going to read out some of the comments from the audience, get them into the mixer. But I was also thinking of, what was the old saying, curiosity killed the cat? I wonder if it's now curiosity killed the chat, as in we're not talking to each other enough. We're not questioning stuff.
That did come up. And someone said, well, because to kill the cat. And I said, well, the cat's dead. Let's move on. Let's keep going. And we can't dwell on a thing we say. We have to keep moving. We have to keep growing as a community.
Absolutely. So I see in the chat, I'm very grateful that there's some good conversation happening there. So AD Stokes says, AI cannot replace curiosity or critical thought, empathy, innovation, emotional intelligence, ethical judgment, human intuition, or calculated risk-taking. And Michael Close replies, AI can be a great tool and help speed up what we do, but it can't give you that feeling of how something feels to use. Gary Hawks, if you think AI is responsible for your work, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Michael, remember that AI is only like any tool, if you don't understand what is a reasonable answer, then you can't use it to get your answer, as it might be wrong and you never know. Yes. Stephen Newton comments, I think there is a lack of critical thinking skills in the world. Laziness or lack of critical thinking lessons in education. And Neil shares, Neil Taylor, it's so important we don't forget about the enjoyment of learning new skills. Perhaps AI can support us though. Great point there, Neil. Excellent. And Rosie Sherry has shared that she has posted a thread on the club on this AI topic. Thanks for doing that, Rosie. I think I can try and grab that link at some point and then post it so folks can follow up. But head to club.ministrytested.com and it should be there as the latest topic. So that should be nicely accessible. Scott, thank you for joining us. Please do stay on the stage if you would like. There are some more folks who want to join us. Let's get Neil. Let's bring Neil Taylor up onto stage.
Can you hear me?
Neil, yes.
My word, it works. I had a big fight with the previous attempt, with the previous software, and it just didn't like my computer.
Huh. Well, we are so glad we can hear your voice, Neil, and you're able to get involved with This Week in Quality.
Yeah, so what have I been up to? Well, there's been a lot going on work-wise. So we're doing a major technology update of our product at the moment. But alongside that, I've been doing quite a bit with bit of automation with tongue-tied now. Bruno. Been using Bruno. We actually moved from Postman to Bruno. So I've been learning that and implementing stuff there. And interestingly, we were just talking about AI. I had a go this week. Well, a second go I've had with Codex, which is basically a command line thing, and you basically point it to your code or whatever you want to update. And it was a simple thing. I just wanted to update some settings in a few files. Like it was a glorified search and replace, nothing clever. And it was quite interesting because I was looking at it with one of the developers. And it's quite funny because when you go through this, I said, I want to approve everything before you make the changes. And he was like, no, I always press the always button. And I'm going, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep pressing the, going to confirm each one. The thing I found interesting with it is that suddenly, very easy, you suddenly slip into this situation where you suddenly, it's more in control than you are. And it said, I'm going to run this big PowerShell command and do all this. And I gradually started becoming further away from what it was actually doing. And I got the end result, but I'm not sure, yeah, it's what it was doing in between that. So that was quite an interesting thing to play around with. Some of the other things that have been quite good this week, I've had quite a lot of nice meetings with different people across, because basically the product I work in, we've got a support team that supports it, and we've obviously got developers, and we've got a big team where effectively one team working together. But some of the good calls we've had around going through some of the new features with support, showing them stuff, getting them on the software to give it a go and try it, has been really good. And then a really good call this morning where we had two devs. One is a new guy who's just joined us, and we had some questions on what the product should do, and we pulled in the product manager as well and had a good conversation. That was really good because we all got a collective agreement on how we wanted to go ahead with this particular feature. So I think it's been quite an interesting week. One interesting thing, we're also talking about AI there. There's a very interesting blog, and I can't find the link for it, but I read this morning, I was at my breakfast, from Cassandra Leong, she had a go at vibe coding, and she was talking about, I think she's quite skeptical of AI and in terms of the learning side of it. That's quite a good blog. If I could find it, I'd share it, but I can't share it anyway. But that was quite an interesting find I was looking at. I've said a lot there. There's quite a lot going on.
That's great. Thank you for sharing, Neil. And I'm so glad you had a good weekend, a nice call. Yeah, thanks. I think Cassandra has shared, someone has shared Simon link on MRT. I saw it. It's on her blog. I haven't given it a read yet, but
Yeah. So the other thing I had been working on, I've been doing a series of blogs about what's it called? The third one is going to be the interesting one because I'm not sure what I'm going to write yet, but that was all about the 99 second talk I did to try and expand on that a bit more. So that would be an interesting blog because the other two were more about the experience of the conference, etc. So yeah, that's what I've been up to really.
Please do. I think I missed your 99 seconds talk. I would be curious to read a wider, a bigger version. If you have time, please do.
Yeah, it's handy enough if you midway down the recording, I think. I actually watched it back because I did one in, I think it was 2016, and I don't think I've watched that back more than once because I, I'm never quite sure, but I actually thought this time round, thinking back on it, I seem to be a little bit more confident in the talking of the 99-second talk. And the really weird thing is, before doing this today, I was a little bit more nervous about doing this than the 99-second talk, strangely. But because you think it's, I think with a lot of these things, it's once you've made your mind up to do it, then it perhaps cuts those nerves down a little bit more and you just get on with it and you give it a go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you did it and hopefully we made it welcoming. And I think that's the, like you say, once you do it, it's easier. So this first step is quite hard. And I think, like, from personal perspective, I'm still not up for what I can stay. But I think this is where the growth is going. Like, I think that is really scary. Well, it depends, like, particularly in public speaking, you definitely come out my strong and confident on the other end, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you can see from yourself, like you said, you feel more confident on 99 seconds talk this year than in 2015, right? Yeah. So when it becomes evident, or it's recorded, right? You feel really good. I hope you feel good and proud of yourself. And yeah, thanks for joining.
So no, I think what helps is obviously we've got the people doing the kind of compare. Couldn't think of the word there for a minute. You were actually hosting it. I think, yeah, that adds a certain comfort level because you're not up there on your own. So I don't think it's, perhaps it's not as scary as maybe all of us that you might think, but it's a picture you're putting in your mind. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you were part of it, Neil. And yeah, glad that you joined the stage today. It's great to hear from you. I'm looking forward to that third blog post as well. I think, yeah, folks can, if folks jump on Neil's profile, I have shared it in the chat for those following along live. You can see the first two parts of those blogs as Neil's contributions. So if people do, this goes to all listeners today, if you are a blogger and you write and publish wherever you publish, those links can be added to your profiles. You go to the observatory, you add a link if you are a professional member, and you can tag yourself as the contributor, and then it appears on your profile. So another way to showcase all the good things you've been up to in the Motiverse. So it's cool to see all the stuff that's on your profile, Neil. I'm loving it, including indeed a link to the 99 Second Talks Day 2. This is very cool indeed. So it's, yeah, brilliant to see you on stage.
Cool, thanks. Okay, cool.
Cheers, Neil. Okay, Natalia, shall we bring Nadja up on stage? So we've got Nadja, Christine and Gary waiting in the wings, and we've got about 18 or so minutes.
Yes, sure. Yeah, they're all waiting patiently. Let's get them on.
Cool. Nadja.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
I made it.
Yes, welcome. We are so glad that you've joined. You've had an awesome week, from what I can gather. She'd love to hear.
I did. It was a great week. We had the Ministry of Testing Berlin meetup on Tuesday, and it was a lot of firsts for me because it was the first time hosting it all by myself, because unfortunately my two buddies couldn't make it, Christina and Jan. They both had to cancel, but it went well. It was the first time hosting it in our office, which gave me a little bit, well, career stuff to talk about in the next management review. And it was the first time that I went on stage and talked. So I'm a public speaker now. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I know that Simon waited patiently for me to get up on stage here. So here I am. You cannot.
Yes. Sure, public speaker. I always knew you were a public speaker, Nadja. It just needed those moments to make it an official reality. I'm well chuffed. Well chuffed for you. That's so cool. So cool. And I, yeah, look forward to getting more reflections on that and what your sort of takeaways were, the experience that could inspire other people to take to the stage as well and share their thoughts.
Yeah, I'm also planning on writing up a little bit how it was and what the challenges were on the Motiverse. I wanted to do it this week, but it has been a really little bit busy because we're also having an audit in a few weeks and I have to prepare that. And I know everyone wants to have meetings with me. But yeah, I'm gonna share more of that and some pictures as well. But I didn't get them yet because someone else took them. And so there's gonna be memories and stars to dish out as well still.
I love it. I love it. The cool thing about, I know often we can feel a sense of urgency to like share all that stuff immediately. But if that doesn't happen, it's cool because it's spread out and then people can remember it weeks after. And so I can imagine, just take one example, that I'll probably still be posting photos from Otacon in, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to get through. Like, we got back the photos from our professional photographer who was there. For those who attended, they might have seen him walking around. There's so many good pictures. So slowly but surely, we're working our way through them and posting them as memories. You've probably seen that Bug is posting them, AKA that's Rosie behind the scenes, but you didn't know that. So Bug is busy posting lots of photos from Moticon. So yeah, whenever the time's right, Nadja, to share your memories and just go for it. But yeah, Bug, congratulations.
Thank you. So cool. And also, I'm going to try to get my boss to let me do it again and again, because it's a great room to have a meetup in. So if anyone's based in Berlin or close to Berlin and interested to speak on a MOT Berlin meetup, please let me know and we'll try to arrange that.
Love it. Definitely take Nadja up on that offer. Speaking at meetups is a great way to build confidence and to share your reflections on a particular thing and just share the knowledge and raise your profile, right? And it can get you onto bigger stages. It can also just give you confidence to reiterate that you do know your stuff. And I'm saying this to everyone who's listening today. That's what it's about, helping you articulate many things that you may already know that you take for granted that others may not be aware of. So you never know where a talk can go. And that's what makes it exciting. It's really cool. Great. Thank you for joining us, Nadja.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. Anytime. And yeah, please do stick around on the stage if you want to jump on in with the rest of the combo. So I can see that Christine Pinto is waiting to join the stage. So let's be lovely to hear from Christine. Let's get Christine up onto the stage. Now, this is, I think we are testing the boundaries now of Wistia. This is good. This is good that I think we're allowed 9 people up on stage. So see if we can get to that and see what happens.
Let's take that also 10, right? We could test a little bit boundaries. Yeah. And we come back with the real test result. And yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. We all deliver testing services for these applications. Isn't that lovely? We should definitely start charging them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we
put in and like bound testing and everything. Yeah,
we send them an invoice every time. Don't worry, Christine.
Or they just have to become professional members to see. Maybe you have to do it that way.
Exactly. Oh, yes. Video, I like it. Like you think
it. Open only if you have professional membership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they can do that. See, that's the smarter. Exactly. Here the business ideas come through it.
And then those folk, their engineering team will get access to all the good stuff and they will improve their products and services. So it's just like one big circle of quality.
Yeah, it's a circle of quality, exactly. That's what we have. That's how we have to frame the next email to them. We should create a circle of quality for your application. That's definitely a good way. Well, coming to my circle of quality, as Nadja already mentioned, yeah, sadly, I missed this week the Ministry of Testing Berlin meetup because I just have very sleepless nights right now, working and prepping and bug fixing on the last couple of things for the application to get it into our Design Heroes group to test it, because we are very close. And as Natalia already mentioned, yeah, my week was learning a lot about MCP, Claude Code. I accelerated my flow, especially, and I love this one so much, the MCP server for Superbase, because I'm not a good database engineer. I have to wear like everything with data. And how to like make it in a good way is very challenging, but it's really the MCP server and Cloud Code for that. It's like top notch. From because I had some security issues and I could not figure it out. It was just so weird. It's analyze the security issues. Okay, what can I do? Explain it to me like a 5-year-old, because I'm using the plan mode very often, like what Neil said as well. I also find like auto accept. The only auto accept I have for is sometimes when it's running batches where it just reads files, because my files are very long. But anything else, I always work on plan for quite a long time. It has to plan with me like 4 hours until it can execute anything. Because I also believe when I started with this, it's very tempting because it just creates so much and I can solve this and this and this and this. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. But then you just lose your way. And because I worked with a vibe coder before, it's just
it tells you that it works a lot, but it doesn't actually do. Because in the end, as we know as well, and I think I spoke about that before, the AI still wants to please us and want to sound confident, but it also lies to us very much. So yeah, my week was a lot. And I think because Natalia also looked on the video, I should share a memory or maybe a mini blog on this, how I'm using right now. I will set up the Playwright MCP as well quite soon, because the funny thing is, I'm not sure if any of you ever seen this, because all these like new fancy browsers who are like intelligent, like Atlas and Yada, we all know they are Chromium based, which means however they engage with the browser is either over Selenium or over any of our UI tools. And we know, I haven't used the Selenium MCP server yet, but I used the Playwright MCP server, which is very sufficient, I have to say. So I see every time they play that, yeah, it's UI tests, just faster execute. It's very funny. If I'm not sure if any of you, I should share in the chat, if any of you feel this as well. When I saw the presentation from the, what is it, JetGPT Atlas and also other ones, like, yeah, that's UI automation just doing one task for you instead of repetitive tasks. It was very funny. But yeah, that's how it feels right now. All these new AI tools can help. I will write some memories. And yeah, our design heroes, which are a lot of them in this chat as well, I'm looking forward that we're going to deploy Wizzle to our Slack space to get testing done and testing feedback as well, which will be hard as always, but it's okay. I'm not made out of gas. I want your feedback, even if I cry from that.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's always a pleasure to learn from you and also in your space where you have your own product. I'm sure we can continue this conversation about AI, because I thought that would be great to give Gary some time as well, who is absolutely patiently waiting today, but also have some thoughts on Playwright release agents, if anyone try, and like the amount of things you're getting back, it's wild. But I also see a lot of efforts we're gonna do later to manage and maintain this. And again, but yeah, like I said, I would like to give Gary space, and potentially could be the same AI conversation, who knows.
Yes, indeed. Let's see if we can get Gary on stage. One thing I wanted to call out, just a big shout out to Alexander Romanov, who's a fellow co-host of This Week in Quality. Alexander says in the chat, for those following along, I just had an experience of running my first online testing conference last weekend, and also had a public talk there as well. It was hard, but interesting. Ah, congrats to you, Alexander. That's very cool. But yes, let's bring Gary up on stage.
How are you doing?
Very well, Gary. How are you?
Yes. I'm using my work computer, so this is the first time I've actually connected with my work computer for ages.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. This is a magical moment.
It's a magical moment.
We're hearing from the actual Gary, the real Gary.
So one of the things I wanted to just go through, yeah, I've touched on AI, and I did the outcome from like leading with quality workshops, and was obviously that inspired me to do my latest blog post, which was about how I got back into the Motiverse and that sort of journey. So I did a blog post and shared that on the Observatory. So that was one thing. The main thing really from the company perspective, because obviously I'm the only person that's representing or as a professional member from my company in MOT. So basically I wrote all the notes that I did, and then I presented that in front of my team. And a lot of that was just to say, these are the kind of things I think we should be doing, but the things that you are doing right, you are not on your own, because there's an entire Motiverse out there that's doing things the same and has the same problems. So it's a very powerful message to them. But also on top of that, I then rewrote those kind of notes into a presentation and then put them. And then the focus I wanted to put on my sort of senior leadership team was around the quality engineering and continuous quality. And so I did that presentation yesterday that went really well. And as part of that, I've tried to demonstrate that role of asking questions a lot earlier and surprising product managers that the fact that I'm really grilling them on, and it's one of those kind of light bulb moments, you think, why wasn't I grilling them this much earlier? But yeah, it's been really powerful. And without testing a line of code, we've found out issues in designs and stuff that we've prevented oversights and stuff like that. I just wanted to get across how powerful the whole thing was. And I took pieces from every talk and every workshop. And so Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to consider. But when you pick the bits that are relevant to your organization, push those forward. It's been really powerful. And yeah, other than that, it's like the 99-second talk. I didn't prepare for that very well, but it was an eye-opener to go, okay, right. So that's ticked off. So I can stand up in front of people. And I didn't feel particularly overwhelmed by that. I just felt slightly unprepared. So I think there may be something I say, my target next year is to try and do a talk, whether that's going to be at a meetup. Yeah, or find a good meetup to do a talk on. I've got a thing I want to do about a leadership run around building teams. I've got an idea in my head because I tried to think about it as an article and it just didn't work as an article. It only really worked as a talk. So yeah, so I'm going to probably like pencil something together. And I said it to a few people at Moticon that once I've got something, I might share it with them. So I've got some peers to just check it over to say what you're trying to say with those who have got that experience of getting up there, because it's I can feel that I would probably rush and pacing and stuff like that. So all so much to learn, I think, just to get that first talk. But yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. And I know there's another person there waiting, so
Gary.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gary, if you want to reach out, mate, I've been in your position quite a few times. It's Scott, by the way. Just reach out, fella. I'm in the same spot. You're like, oh, I've got a really good idea. Don't make an article. It's a recorded talk. That's why I heavily rely on Adi to bring me back down to the world.
Yeah, and
he's helped me loads. So if you want to reach out, mate, I can hopefully share that with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah. I shall put a skeleton together. Yeah.
Good luck, mate.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you for sharing all that, Gary. Really, yeah, lovely to hear all that, right? The power of the Motiverse and how you're evangelizing within your company. That's wonderful to hear. And let's hope we can get a few more of your crew, your work colleagues into the Motiverse and contributing, getting stuck in and seeing what's possible as well. No doubt seeing how it's benefiting you, which is great. And also, yeah, as far as talks, the Scott share, that's very kind, Scott, to offer that. Another option to throw in the mixer is you could put together a 404 talk. So this is a talk, for those unfamiliar, a talk that's 4 minutes and 4 seconds long, and we can publish that on the Ministry of Testing website. So if folks want to experiment with recording a pre-recorded talk that's very short and to the point, that might not cover everything you want to cover, but give folks a bit of a flavor, but still be very useful, then anyone is welcome to put themselves forward to pre-record a talk that we can publish on ministrytesting.com. So that, yeah, it goes to all listeners today, as well as yourself, Gary.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks very much for that. Yeah, I'll give that some thought too.
Lovely stuff. Brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us, Gary. Natalia, I'm just doing a quick time check. I think we do have time to hear from Matilly. It would be lovely to hear from her. Shall I do the honours and bring Matilly up on stage?
Yeah, yes, please. Yeah, why not?
Okay, I see we are getting close to that boundary. Matilly, how are you doing? How's your week in quality been?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Zaman. Thank you. It was a very nice, productive week because I have got to write a professional QA statement with help of Judy and Claire for one of the job I was applying for. People are so helpful, and that got reviewed. I submitted it. And then going through JavaScript and Playwright tutorials, there is one with Mark's. Mark has created one of the tutorials, which I'm going through. That is helpful. And I raised some of the questions which I was getting in the club, so getting very nice response. And the last thing regarding AI, 20 years back when I was doing my studies, that day also I was studying the same basic coding, but that time teachers were there to help. And then 10 years later, when I was going through YouTube tutorials, I was still sending emails on the coding and all those things. I used to wait for them to respond. But now with AI, the only difference is still I have to learn the coding basics and everything. But AI is only helping to instantly answer to my doubts or questions. I think the gap has changed, but the concept and everything is still same programming and same learning. But one doubt I had that with all the AI stuff, is it still going to replace QA? I don't think.
because nothing is 100% automatable. Because I raised one of the questions with some scenarios, whether they can be automated or not. So I don't think AI can automate all those scenarios as well because of time restrictions or resources or all other stuff. So there will be still our roles, like 20 years back also the same, and now also the same. So unless and until we keep learning new skills and technologies, it won't. There will still be opportunities for QA.
I love it, and you sharing that, Matilly. Thank you so much. Yeah, what a brilliant reflection. Using time, and I guess your point around like the gap has changed, but the concept is the same. I think there's something really in that. So yeah, thank you for sharing. And if you get the chance, yeah, share that. If you haven't done so already on the thread that Rosie started on the club, I think that's a really good insight to share. And also, yeah, lovely to hear that. I'm assuming Judy Mosley that was helping you out. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
And even Claire, she's not in the Slack, but Claire has helped. I can share what I finally documented and sent if anyone is interested to hear. But it's the first time I created multiple versions of it. And based on feedback they gave, I made changes.
Yeah, put it out
there. Because I wasn't sure whether personal statements to be written for a job. It was a nice experience. At least it gave me an opportunity to reflect on what I have done in so many years.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, if you're comfortable sharing it as a memory on ministryoftesting.com, please do go ahead. I think that can inspire other folks. And it feels like it ties in with the concept of profiles. And I know Rahul Parwell and a lot of the stuff that he talks about, raising your profile. So if there are real examples for you to share and you're okay with that, please go for it. I know folks would find that useful. And yeah, nice one for GD and Claire for helping you out. That's very cool indeed.
And other people also, I don't recall everyone's name, but they have responded to my club chat where I asked exactly what has to be included in the QA professional personal statement, because I have done all my studies back in India, so we never had this concept of writing personal statements. But now when my kids are studying, I have seen them doing personal statement, but it was too early to ask them to review my one and give me feedback. So MOT is really, I'm so grateful for help.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's
why we're here, right? Oh, sorry, Simon.
No, Natalia, you go for it. Please do go. Go for it.
And last thing, I created the LinkedIn post because I received the community certificate. So I can share it in our Slack if anyone interested to read it.
Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was sleeping somewhere.
Well done. Congratulations. That's wonderful. Yeah. For folks who get really involved in the community, over time, they will get the community certificate. It's just a way of saying to folks like, hey, look, I'm involved, I'm contributing, I'm supporting others, helping others out, being grateful for that help and sharing my knowledge and experience and getting stuck in. So yeah, it's lovely to see more certificates going out this week. Always a privilege and an honor to lead on that process and to award those certificates. So yeah, I'm so glad you're pleased with that, Matilly. That's great. Okay, well, it looks like we are coming to the end of this episode. So thank you for joining us, folks. And thank you for everyone who's joined us up on stage. What I would recommend for those professional members out there who are listening is to go and award a star to everyone who joined the stage, just to say thanks. Perhaps you can share a nice little message. Those stars will go onto that person's profile. And it just feels good, right? You're adding to their kind of credibility within the community and credibility within their organization that they're working at as well. So it just takes a little bit of effort to share a star, but I do recommend it. So yeah, head on over to find their profile page. You can see a little plus icon by the star and you can pick a reason like thanks or great work or bug congrats, something like that. It's always nice to share some gratitude for those who have put themselves up on stage today and shared. And also, if you really want to go for it, there's been loads of brilliant chat in the chat for those listening along live. Maybe you could dish out some stars to the people that have also participated in the chat. That would also be a nice thing to do as well. Natalia, any final words before we sign off for today?
Just to say thank you, everyone, for coming today. Thank you for being part of community. It wouldn't be awesome without you. Everyone contribute, showing up, writing, supporting each other, speaking, listening. So please keep doing it. And we will be back here next Friday.
Absolutely. We'll see you then, folks. Take care and we'll speak soon. Bye for now.